Morning. Merry Christmas. Hope you all had a good Christmas, and I hope you have a good New Year. So, if you turn me to Matthew chapter 11, am I on, Jess? Ooh. Happy birthday, Jesse. I wanted that on tape. You're welcome. All right, Matthew chapter 11. And we're just going to read some familiar verses, verses that the Lord laid on my heart and that I feel that he wants us to talk about today. Matthew chapter 11 and starting verse 28. And then Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Maybe I'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the time that we have to open up your word. We pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and that you would illuminate the scriptures to us. Lord, we even think of the prayer request that was just mentioned with Jerry's cousin, and we ask that you would be with this gentleman as well. Don't know if he knows you, but Lord, we pray that that he would be both healed spiritually as well as physically. But Lord, we ask now that you would be with our hearts, open up our minds and our hearts that we might learn a little bit of what you would have for each one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So what drew me to this scripture was specifically the holiday season. Now, I don't know about you, but all the way up to Christmas, it is like mayhem. It's especially for me being in the heating and cooling business too, people are turning their heats on and stuff like that, and it's just like I'm busy at work, I'm busy at home because we're doing like the extra shopping, we're putting up the decorations. I've got more kids in the house this year, so there's that too. I mean, there's family get-togethers. There's things that you don't want to go ahead and forget all the way up to that day. And I don't know about you, but it's like when that day hits, like I'm tired. I'm like done. And honestly, I'm still feeling that a little bit today. You know, physically, mentally, even spiritually. I mean, I'm tired. And at this time of year, also being as it was mentioned earlier, like this is the last Sunday of the year of 2019, and we got 2020 coming up. And I think what everybody does, they make their New Year's resolutions, and they start thinking, they look at the years past, and so forth. And you know, I always look at okay, like what have I done? What have I accomplished? And like, if I look at some of that stuff, sometimes you can get really depressed and say, hey, I haven't done that much. Or sometimes you can like, all right, well, next year, this is what I'm going to do. And you feel like you're going to go gung-ho. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to go gung-ho, but it's like at this time of year, like I'm tired. And I want to go gung-ho for 2020. And I want to make these New Year's resolutions, but I'm still recovering from 2019. And so My heart went to these scriptures, and these scriptures here, they're talking about salvation, but there's a lot more to it than just, okay, your ticket to heaven. So I want to read them again. Take a look at them again. "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, to me, when you hear that word rest, I mean, for me, that was the attraction. Like rest. Who doesn't want rest? I mean, I want rest. I can't wait to rest. Sometimes when I get up in the morning and I know that I got a long day of work ahead of me and chores to do and everything like that, like I'm looking forward to that rest when at the end of the night where I can just like sit on the couch, do nothing, and have everything done and just rest. It's like sometimes we long for that. I'm looking forward to that. There's so many things in this scripture here when it's talking about rest, because it says that you're going to come to him and you're going to find rest, but rest to your souls. But we also see that he says, "Take my yoke upon you." We're going to talk a little bit about what a yoke is. Some of you know what a yoke is, but that's with an oxen, and it's used for plow. But there's work to be done, and yet in the midst of work, God, Christ is saying that you can find rest to your souls in the midst of work. In this portion of Scripture, we're going to back up just a little bit. And we're going to start in verse 25. But in this portion of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 11 is talking about all the responses that people had to the Messiah. Jesus is talking, where John the Baptist sends some of John the Baptist disciples to Jesus in the beginning of the chapter, and he's just like, who are you, Jesus? Basically, they're asking who you are, and then Jesus goes ahead and responds, well, tell them that the blind receive their sight and the deaf hear and so forth, and basically he tells them through Scripture that he's the Messiah. And we see some of the other responses other people had with the Messiah, and this is where we come to, and you look at verse 25. Jesus prayed this prayer for all to hear. He says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me, and no one truly knows the Son except for the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except for the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. So here we see that Jesus is talking about knowing him, knowing the Son, and that no one knows the Son unless the Father chooses to reveal the Son to them. And then he goes right into the next verse, is what we're going to talk about today. Come to me, all you who are weary and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here we see that knowing the Son, it's talking about, once again, it's talking about salvation. And when we talk about salvation, the first thing, when I always looked at these scriptures, I once again would look at my ticket to heaven is punched. My burden of sin is gone. If any of you have ever read Pilgrim's Progress, and as he's going through life, he's got that big burden on the back, and he's following his path, and he's going through life, and finally when he gets to the cross, and the foot of the cross, the burden is dropped. Okay, and I look at I've always looked at these verses that's it. His burden is dropped, and now his burden is lifted, and he found rest from his burden. But there's more to it here in this scripture that Jesus is going ahead and inviting us to. And honestly, like, I've been a Christian for a long time, but honestly, I don't always tap into this. I don't always take the invitation that Jesus is having here. Now, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I know that I've trusted him and believe him as my Savior, and I know that the eternal punishment of sin is gone and taken from me. I know that. And so from there, I have rest. But there's more rest here that he offers to us. And to me, that is very inviting, but I have to tap into it. I was talking to, you might figure this one out, but I was talking to an elderly couple about Amazon Prime. Anybody have any Amazon Prime? Okay. So Amazon Prime, there's some benefits to Amazon Prime. And during Christmas time, we like the free shipping. You know, you don't have to pay for the shipping. So Amazon does all of my Christmas shopping. They're great like that. And for this elderly couple that I had been talking to, I was talking to, they... it's my parents. Okay. They... they were just like, yeah, we get the free shipping and stuff like that. But then, come. I was just like, well, did you watch this on Amazon Prime? Like, what are you talking about? Watch this on Amazon Prime. We get the free shipping. I'm like, well, no, there's a whole other thing you can tap into. You can put the Amazon Prime on your TV. You could watch all these things. You could listen to music. You could do all this other stuff. And it's like, wow. You know, it was like great. It's like there's so much more to it being the Amazon Prime member, right? So it's kind of like that when we become a child of God and we have now he's offered us this rest. Well, there's more to this rest that we can experience in everyday life than just knowing that our eternal destination is set and paid for and we don't have to worry about the punishment of sin. There's more to it than that. And that's what he's inviting us to in these scriptures. So I want you to note this. Now, when he talks about, in verse 29, First he says, verse 28, come to me, all you are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest into your souls. I want you to note the three things that he tells us to do there. First he says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. So we come, then we take, and learn of me. So we have three responsibilities there, three verbs, three action verbs, and first is come, then it's take, and then it's learn. And so I want to present these to you as a challenge as we now enter into 2020, is those three things. Now, I find that myself, that I don't always apply those three in my life where I should, where I'm that Amazon Prime member, if you would, but I'm not tapping into everything and all the benefits. And here, Jesus is saying, come, take, and learn. So the first thing I want to talk about is come. Coming to Jesus. Coming to him. Now, we have come to him in a way if we have accepted him as Lord and Savior and said, okay, Lord, I agree with you. I have sin in my life. I know that the human race has fallen by sin and that you are the only way to get rid of that. Sin was our problem. We all have sin. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus came to earth as a human. This is what we celebrate on Christmas. And then basically took that punishment for the human race and now offers it as a free gift in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus took that punishment for us. And because he took the punishment, he is allowed to go ahead and give that gift to anybody he wants. Because he paid for the sins of all nations, as it was said this morning. He paid for so, and he just has decided not to hold it back, but to give it to everyone he has created. He wants to give it to every individual that has ever had breath, and even those that don't, that haven't made it born. He will give that gift of salvation to anyone that has basically he has created. That is what he does. And so that's his prerogative. I've accepted that gift. I've come to him that way. But I find myself that when I'm in the busyness of life or the struggles of life, the struggles, the health struggles, the financial struggles, the family struggles, a lot of us face that, especially at the time of the holidays, getting together with extended family and there's a lot of issues there. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of emotional stress that I find that I don't always come to Jesus when I have those things. But he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Now, this is not, it's not going to be like rest where I can just go ahead and take a nap like some of you want to do right now. But it's a rest to your souls. Now, what's the difference between, when you think about physical rest, and what's a physical rest and what's rest to your souls? Well, physical rest is pretty easy to describe. Because physical rest is when we're in a restful position, we're not working, but we're able to recline or whatever, some of us sleep, and we're able to put everything aside and just recuperate, get refreshed. And Jesus says that he's able to go ahead and give this rest or this refreshment to our souls. Why is it important to our souls? Well, if you think about it, when it comes to our soul, I mean, is our soul working? I don't know about you, but my soul works all the time. And that could be part of your mind, or especially your emotions, your desires, your will. When you're thinking, I especially see this when family get-togethers. And you know, when you have family get-togethers, there's always differences of opinion. There's always people that you love. And there's always hard feelings where some people think that you should be a certain way and you're not a certain way, or you think other people should be a certain way and they're not a certain way. And there's always that tension. There's an emotional tension. And when there's that emotional tension, my soul works. Or when there's a situation where it could be a financial stress, where there's only so much money coming in and I have more month at the end of my money. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? And I start worrying about things. And I don't come to him because my soul works. When you have health issues, And there's nothing that you can go ahead and do, and it's in the Lord's hands. But I'm getting myself worked out. What if this could happen? What this guy? What if this happens? And what happens is my soul ends up working. I'll just share with you this illustration. This is, I found balloons. I was telling Don I was looking for balloons the other day. But I gave my son this illustration the other day when he was scared. And I said, I call him Bubby. I said, Bubby, you got to pretend that this is your imagination. This is in your mind. All right? And you've got two balloons. All right? This represents God in your mind, and this represents what you're scared of in your mind. And what happens when you have your imagination is you spend time on one of these balloons when you start thinking about things. And right now they're about the same size, but when you start thinking and thinking about one thing, and you start blowing it up, well, what happens? Well, it gets bigger. And I spend time dwelling on this thing over here again. Well, what happens? It gets even bigger. Now, this is what happens in my mind. And I said, the more time you think about God, God is going to be bigger than your problems. The more time that you come to him, more you come to him, use that imagination that he's given you, the bigger this will be. And so then we started talking about God. We started talking about Bible stories or whatever, and he told me he had a happy face on, and he was just like, it's working. That balloon's deflating. The other one's deflating. It's going away because we're spending more time with this one. And that's what we need to do because, I mean, now, we can make our problems bigger. I'm not going to try to blow this one up. This one needs helium, and I tried blowing it up downstairs, and it didn't work. I was sitting there. But we could blow this one up, and a lot of times when we worry, that's exactly what we're doing. We're blowing up our problems. We're spending so much time. Our soul is toiling on our problems that this problem balloon becomes bigger than God is. But we know in reality that God's bigger than anything, that God has tomorrow in his hands, that God already knows what's going to happen in 2020. He already knew everything that was going to happen in 2019. He already knew all these things that you had. He knew 500 years ago where all the nations of the world would be and who their leaders would be. There is no surprise to him. And God knows these things globally. He knows what the end is, and he's even wrote it for us in his book. And nothing's going to thwart that. Nothing's going to throw that off. But he also takes personal interest in each one of us, where he says to each one of us personally, come to me, and he will give us rest. He will give our souls rest. And we concentrate. We imagine. We use our imagination to, and we meditate on who he is, and he becomes bigger in our mind. And so then we can go ahead and have rest into our souls. When we come to him, two things I want to mention coming to him. The first is prayer. Now, we all know what prayer is. Now, I've been praying for years. I'm sure you've been praying for years. But I heard it mentioned once by a preacher, and it was a challenge to me, and they said, is prayer your spare tire? Is prayer what you go to when you're broken down and you can't move anymore? Or is prayer your first priority? Now, it was a challenge to me because I found myself, you know, like I pray all the time. And it's a good thing to pray all the time. You're talking to God on a consistent basis. But when I had like a major problem, like, maybe it was a logistics problem, then I get there and I'll go ahead and lay everything out and I figure out, okay, what do I got to do? Maybe it's a financial problem. Well, okay, well, I got to go ahead and do the bills and then work everything out. Maybe it's a school problem with the kids. Well, I got to go ahead and sit down with them and work with them. But my first resort, the first thing I always went to was, what can I do? Because I'm a doer. God has built me that way. I just need to go ahead and do. But I forgot that I need to go ahead, and my first priority should be take it to my knees, take it to him. Nothing, if God doesn't build the house isn't going to be built. I can go ahead and give any effort I want, but if God is not behind me, if God is not strengthening my hands, if God is not blessing my work, it doesn't matter. Because he knows what is going tomorrow. He knows what tomorrow will bring. And when we go ahead and pray, see, God wants to work in your life. God wants to bless you. God, he has you as his child. He wants to bless you. He wants to do these things, but he's waiting for you to go ahead and ask him. And when you go ahead and pray, you're basically giving, you're asking God, go ahead and bless me, Lord. Go ahead and bless this situation. And then we'll go ahead and will we get everything we pray for? Well, no, we're not going to get everything we pray for. And that's one of the reasons we pray in Jesus' name. We want his will to be done in our life because he knows what tomorrow brings. He knows what's best for us versus us. And so, but we'll take it to him, and the more that we pray, he will go ahead and mold our minds, and he'll work that out. But he will work in the situation. When you pray and you bring it to him first, he will work it out. He will give you an answer. He will say yes or no or maybe. So that's the first thing, quiet time. I mean, prayer. Now I don't talk about quiet time. Now, if you don't know what quiet time is, quiet time is the time that you spend with him one-on-one. Now that can be, that can be anything. Any time. Some people do it in the morning. Some people do it in the middle of the day at their lunch break. Some people do it at the end of the day. It doesn't matter, but you need to go ahead and work it out. If you don't have time where you spend with him, you need to go ahead and grab hold of that time, and you need to protect it with all your being. Because as soon as you start reading the scriptures and spending a little bit of time with God, whether it be through a devotional book, whether it just be reading a couple verses a day, a chapter a day, whatever it is, something will attack that time. Something will try to come in the way of that time. And for a lot of us, for me included, sometimes I like listening to messages. You can get them on podcast or whatever. You could just like listen to something quick, or you just go ahead and read something quick, and then just like, okay, I did my time, I'm good to go, and then you're off on your way. Well, one of the things I encourage my Sunday school kids is that how long should a devotional or a quiet time be? It should be as long as it takes for you to talk to God and for God to talk to you. But every time, if you go ahead and do that, and you're not even, and okay, you're not going to get a big, huge revelation every time. I mean, maybe you will, I don't know. But a word from God. But by going ahead and spending the time, is what you're doing is you're training yourself to listen to his voice. You're listening to his voice. You're learning to listen to his voice. And he will. He desires that from each and every one of us here in this room, is that one-on-one time. And that's going to look different, like I said, for everybody in here. But he wants us to have that one-on-one time. It's not a matter, he doesn't want you to go ahead and get all your food, all fed from whoever's standing up here for the day or listening to a podcast or anything like that, and that's where you get your spiritual food. No, he wants to have that relationship with you one-on-one. Guard that time. Bring things to him in prayer and make sure you spend that time. That's coming to him. We came to him with our burden of sin and allowed him to go ahead and take that for all eternity, but he wants us to come to him all of the time, daily, because the point of him taking the sin away from us and paying for that was so that he could have a relationship with us. So that's coming to him. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, a yoke, it's not an egg yoke. Can I get a guy to help me? If you would. Thank you, sir. All right. So, yeah, you were bored? Good. Yeah. No, perfect. All right. So, we're going to illustrate a yoke. I could have had pictures, but I figured this would be more fun and somebody could get hurt. So, it was good. So, what a yoke would be was basically, it's a board. Now, Justin, if you would do the same thing as myself, and they'd put it on basically the back of the shoulders of whether it be ox, cows, or whatever. And then basically both of them, we're going to pretend to be cows, okay? And both of them would get hooked up through basically some kind of neck loop or you or something like that. And in the middle here, they would be some kind of hook. And so when the farmer or whoever was in instruction, they gave us instruction to move, we would walk forward. And you walk forward with me. Now, what would happen is if one of us stopped and somebody kept moving, what happens, and that's we go ahead, you can keep walking. We end up going in a circle. It's not a straight line. So we want to make sure that we stay on task and that we our footing keeps together. No. So we'll back up a little bit. One thing ox cannot do when they're with the yoke is they cannot back up, just to let you know. I read a lot about this. I don't know why. I just did. The other thing to note about this is that they had to be about, that's why I'm glad Justin came up, because they had to be pretty even in size. Otherwise, if you had a smaller calf, you know, you picture something like this, and then you had Justin, well, guess what? You're going to end up walking in circles again because you have like little steps and you have big steps. The other thing to know is they didn't always plow, but sometimes they hooked up a plow to this, and then they would go ahead and they would, this is how they would plow the dirt, and they would walk in straight lines. Now, they would separate the cows and the ox in such a way that we would walk, the cows would walk, not where the plants were to be planted, but in basically the paths. And so that was why it was so important that we would walk in step with one another and in a straight line, to not damage the mounds in the middle. Or we could also be towing something, hooking it up to bricks or, you know, bricks or logs or whatever that they use for building, and we can go ahead and pull it. And obviously, the burden is a lot less. How are you doing over there?
Good.
Good, good. All right. And then the last thing I want to mention is how they knew how to go. It wasn't like a horse where they went ahead and whipped it. How the oxen knew how to go was by the master's words. They trained them on different words where something would mean forward, something would mean turn right, something would mean turn left. And that the both oxen, like he would always be on the left side, I would always be on the right side. So anytime I got hooked up to a yoke, I would always be on the right side. Because if we switched and I knew that right meant go this way, well, it's going to throw me all off because I'm used to going right and then maybe having to take a short turn while he makes a long turn. And an opposite for the left. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you very much. Now, when Jesus is giving this illustration, he's probably talking to to whoever, but they're probably very familiar with the yoke. Where I'm not, I don't plow fields. Okay, I don't own cows or anything like that. So that's why I wanted to look into it a little bit. But there are several different things that were very interesting in there. And specifically, what I liked to hear and what I really learned is that how the oxen move is by the word of the farmer. Whoever's behind them. It's by his word. It's not by their own direction. It's not by their own will. But it's whatever they are told they will go ahead and do. As well as, something I didn't mention, is that they, in order to train the oxen, they might have a younger oxen that's coming up that's never been hooked up to a yoke before. They will hook it up with a more experienced oxen that has been on a yoke for a while. And that will help train the other one, as one will know when to stop, when to go, and that they actually have to practice, and it takes a while before they'll go ahead and just bring them out into the field so that they can go ahead and do their finished product. But one of the things that mentioned in everything that I read about training an ox on a yoke was that you cannot drive it and that it takes patience. It takes patience, patience, patience. Everything that I read said patience was a key. And to me, that was very, very, very encouraging, because here, Jesus is saying, okay, I'm going to give you rest, and this is how I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, the purpose of a yoke is not to rest. If you think about it, anytime an oxen is hooked up to a yoke, there's work to be done. It's not that they're going to go ahead and sit there and graze, but there's work to be done. So here, God is saying that when you take my yoke upon you, you're going to be in the midst of work, and yet I'm going to be able to give you rest into your soul. To me, that's kind of refreshing, because I know that I have life to live, and I have to go through life, And yet he's going to give me rest into my soul. I'm going to be able to have rest in tribulation. I'm going to be able to have rest to my soul when financial hardship hits, or health hardship hits, or those family situations where I'm going to be able to have rest in the midst of that. And it's not physical rest, because we're still working, but it's a rest into my soul. See, because one of the things my soul is when I was talking about when our soul works, is like we have that control. We have to have control over certain things and think that we have to do it, and we hold on to that control for dear life. But when an ox gets hooked up to the yoke, that ox needs to relinquish control, because it's not going to work out if he's trying to fight against the other ox. It's not going to work out if he's trying to fight against the farmer. He relinquishes control, and he allows the farmer to have the control, and the farmer speaks the word, and then the ox goes. And that's where his burden is easy and light. It's you're still doing the work, but now you're sharing the work with one, with another, and Jesus says that he will go ahead and he will be the one yoked with you as you go through life. All of a sudden, your burden and the work is a lot easier, and now you're not, and you've relinquished control. So now I want to talk about learning. So come to me, we come to Jesus with these things, and we come to him daily. We take his yoke upon us. So now, if we want to go ahead and make that commitment and say, okay, Lord, I know that sometimes I go through life and I try to do it at my own pace, in my own strength, with my own control. I'm holding on to certain things, my control. I want you to have control. How do I do it? I don't know how to do it. And he says, learn of me. We're that young calf, or that younger cow, being hooked up to the yoke with our Lord Jesus, and now he wants to take us through life. There's things that we've got to do. There's responsibilities to be done. It's not just all fun and games. So let's get through it. How do we do it? How do we learn of him? Look, turn with me to John chapter 13. Now, I'm not going to be able to go ahead and give you everything in here, and because there's so much in both of these scriptures, but so much in John 13 too, but there's some things I want to go ahead and point out that as we're looking at how Jesus walked through life, the Holy Spirit led me to these scriptures, and I want to point out some things in these scriptures specifically of how we see Jesus walking through life and how he took things, what he did, so that we can learn from him. So this is just before Jesus goes to the cross. They're about to have the Last Supper, and this is the story where Jesus is about to wash the disciples' feet. They're now going into the upper room. All the disciples are there, including Judas, and they're going in and they're going to wash the disciples' feet. But I want to know, we're not going to be able to hit everything in these first couple scriptures, but I want to look closely at what you see Jesus thinking and doing so that we can learn from him. Verse 1, it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him the authority over everything, and he had come from God, and he would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, and wrapped the towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around them. Now I want you to note a few things there. The first thing I want you to note, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. Jesus knew when to stop and when to go. Jesus had timing down from having his time and spending his time with the Father. He knew that his time was now come. All throughout the Gospels, there's a lot of times where Jesus will say, my time has not yet come, my time has not yet come. I was even talking with a brother earlier, but Jesus knew when to go and when to stop. Remember Lazarus? And Lazarus was really, really sick. And so they said, Jesus, we got to go. We got to go. He's really, really sick. And then Jesus says no, and he waits where he was for quite a while. And Lazarus ends up dying. But he was everything that he does. He says this in John chapter 5, verse 19, and John chapter 8. Let's turn to this one. John chapter 8, verse 28. And just flip over there for a second. Keep your finger in 13. Verse 28. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing of my own, but say only that which the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me, and he deserted not me." But anything that Christ does, anything that he does, anything that he says, he always says he gets it from the Father. Once again, he is that ox going through, and he's listening to the words of his Father. Anything, when his Father says go, he goes. When he says turn right, turns right. When he says turn left, he turns left. Because he's listening to the Father. If you don't come to him and spend that time with him and learn his voice, you're not going to know when his voice tells you to stop or go, or when to stay or when to go. Go which way? And so he says, learn from me. Get yoked up with me, because I can listen to my Father's voice. I want you to listen to my Father's voice too. And here we see that Jesus never ever wasted any time. He never wasted time. Even though it might have looked like as he's sitting there before Lazarus ends up dying, that he's wasting time. But he never wastes any time. He's doing what the Father wants him to do. And it ends up for more honor and glory to the Father. How much time have we wasted in just this past year? When we go ahead and, whether it be time wasted worrying, or time wasted going ahead and doing something that's fruitless or whatever, because we just took it upon ourselves and we didn't go to him first. We didn't take on his yoke and we didn't listen to him where he didn't say go and do. We just went ahead and did. It's a challenge that he knows the timing of the Father. God will share that with you as well. You bring things to him, he'll tell you when to go and when not to go. He will tell you what to do and what not to do. He wants to do this for you, but you just have to bring it to him. So Jesus knew timing, the timing of the Father. One of the things that always impressed me too is in Luke chapter 8, you don't need to turn to it or anything like that, but you remember when Jesus took a nap on the boat? That always impressed me, because there are times where physically you need rest too. And Jesus took a nap on the boat. It's okay to take a nap. Not now, but it's okay to take a nap. So in John 13, he says, Jesus knew that his hour was coming, that he was going to leave this world and return to the Father. Here he says he's going to return to the Father. Jesus knew his destination. He knew where he was going. He had a straight path to the Father. Jesus will also let us know our destination, where we're going, what the end goal is, if we go ahead and spend the time with him. You see the next couple phrases here too, where he says, he loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. See, Jesus' mission was clear because he had spent time and he had listened to the Father. He knew his job was to love his disciples. He knew who his disciples were. And he did a great job, and he loved them to the end. When you think about those ox, it's kind of like if they're plowing that field, they know where the end of the field is. They can see the end of the field, and they're heading straight that way. As well as they know that they're doing a good job, because if you were to look behind, you would see that the fields are being plowed, that dirt is being overturned, and they're walking in a straight line. This is what Jesus knew. Jesus knew his mission. He knew what he was created for. He knew why he came to earth, and he knew his mission. And he's telling us, yoke up with me, you're going to learn the same thing. See, Jesus has made each and every one of us special. He has shaped us in such a way where the family that you came from, the experiences that you've had, the books that he's allowed you to read, where you are, your physical well-being, all of that comes into play into who you are. And God has a mission. He has a job. He has a goal for every one of us here. There's no doubt in my mind. God makes every one of us unique and special, and He allows us to go ahead and proclaim His name, to go ahead and share His message in a unique way because of the way He made us. That could be through your talents. It could be through anything, but no one else can go ahead and give that message like you can give that message. God has given you an area of influence, whether it be at work or at home or even amongst the people here, that you have a message, you have something to share with them that no one else can do like the way you do it. That is your mission. That is your goal. And when you yoke up with Jesus and you learn His timing, you can do it, and you can do it well. You put yourself aside, you relinquish His control, and allow Him to work through you, and it can be done. I can't stress that enough, that each one of us are created for that specific purpose, for something special. Each one of us has experience in our life where I can encourage somebody else that you may not be able to, but you can also encourage somebody else that I'm not able to go ahead and reach because of your experiences, because of who you are, because of maybe something of your talents or whatever. But every one of us has something different. And you know what? Because God has placed you in Bristol Bible Chapel, in this group of believers, you have something to bring to the table to this group of believers. You are here on purpose. Not because it was just happenstance, but you are here on purpose because He directed you here. He directed your steps here, and you have something to bring to the table. So when you're missing, so is that piece. That piece is also missing. When you're not plugged in and where you're not going ahead and using your gifts in the ministry here, then that piece is missing as well, because there's something only you can bring. And lastly, looking at verse 3, something else we can learn from Him. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything, and that He had come from God, and that He would return to God. Now, a lot of times when I read that verse, I just skipped over it. But I began to realize, just studying it recently, how important that verse is, and what it means to me, and what I can learn from Him on that. Because there's three things there. He knows what the Lord has given Him. He comes from God, and He went to God. Those three things is Christ's identity. He knows who He is. And each one of you has an identity in Christ as well. Because each one of you, just like we were just talking about, has certain things and talents and responsibilities that God has given you, that He has not given me, and that He has not given the person next to you. He's given that specifically to you. Jesus knew what He was given from His Father. But then it says that He had knew that He came from God. He came from God. He knew His past. He knew where He was created. He knew what He was from. And then He knew where He was going, that He was also going to God. Who Christ was, who you are, we come from God. Nobody made me up, okay? I wasn't formed in some laboratory or anything like that. God made me. I came from God. So who I am is not defined by any one of you in here. It's not defined by my family, who my family wants me to be. Because there are times I know that in each of our families, we have those family members that we just can't please. That we can never live up to their standards. We can never live up to what they want us to be. And I find that when we don't know who we are, we're trying to go ahead and please those family members, that we end up making decisions based on trying to please them instead of who we are, or who we know we are. We live out who we are. If you don't know who you are in Christ, then you don't know who you are. He knows where He came from, but He also knows where He's going. He knows the start and finish. If you are a child of God, you are also going to God. that is your end. That is what you were created for. You were created for a relationship with him. And if that's what you're created for, you are not created to go ahead and please your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or to please those people at work. You are created to be who you are supposed to be because of him. He's the one that created for you, and he's the one that wants you in the end. That is what you were created for. That is your identity. You grab hold on that, and you know who you are, and you will live that out. Because if you're trying to go ahead and please parents that are unpleased, if you haven't pleased your parents now, you're never going to please them. They will never be happy. So stop trying. I heard this written from an author, but I've also seen this firsthand, is that they had there was a teacher that had two classrooms. If you know the author from Prayer of Jabez, Bruce Wilkinson, I think is his name. I heard this illustration from him, but he was given two classrooms, and one was A and one was B, and they said that B was the challenged one. They were mentally challenged or whatever. They struggled in their academics, and then A was the 100s, and they got all the good grades. Well, Bruce, when he was going in to teach, he thought both of them. He was never told, but he thought both of them were like excellent. He was getting specialized classes, and that both more intelligent. So he treated them such, and when he ended up treating them such, they ended up being both superb. And then he was told later, how did you get class B to where you want class B? And he's like, well, I thought they were the special group. And he's like, no, they're both. This is the challenge group. This is the special group. And it ended up, it's because those kids ended up living out who they thought they were. If someone continues to tell you that you're no good or whatever, and you even deal with a child, it's so important that if you think that way, if you think that's who you are, that's what we're going to live out. But you need to remember that Jesus knew who he was, that he had come from God, and that he was going from God. And everyone in this room is the same. We have that identity in Christ. Christ thought you so special that he died on the cross for you, and he wants you to come to him. So my challenge to you for this coming year, may we come to Jesus with everything. May we take on his yoke, spending that time and learning from him, watching him and the way he did and his ways so that we can go ahead and fulfill our purpose under him. May we look to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious God and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what a loving God that you are. A God that created every one of us special. A God that loves every one of us special. That when you went to the cross, that we were the joy that was set before you. Lord, I pray that you would bring the rest into our souls, that you would help us to come to you with all of our burdens, and that we would learn to walk with you daily. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do so in the coming year, that we would redeem the time and that we would not waste it, but we would listen to the words of your Father, the direction of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.